Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Welcome to Playful Podcast, your guide into the underground scene where we discover topics on kink and electronic music every week. Don't forget to subscribe to not miss out on our next episode. We're here today with Danielle Rahal, better known as Lolsnake. Lolsnake is not only a DJ known for her hypnotic techno and harder sound, but also the founder of the Berlin-based queer party Weirdos that are getting more and more attention. In this conversation, we speak about Danielle's upbringing, feeling as an outsider, how she finds her own queerness and self-expression in Berlin, her view on the booking politics, and what we have to look out for in the scene, and much more. I am Amanda, and this is Playful Podcast.
It's this floating space, and like you have these like rapid like visuals, and like everything is a sensory overload. It feels like your heart is like you get a shot of adrenaline when you first do it, and then you have like also. So you think like you're gonna die, like you're like, oh my god, like it's so terrifying, and you go into this space. And like for me, I had like synesthesia where like I could like taste sound and I could even see sound waves when I would like try to like sort of, oh, I opened my eyes for a moment and I could like see the echoes like coming out. I was like, this is so bizarre.
Do you think that you became a better producer by these things?
Absolutely, yeah. Like I got really obsessed with like high frequencies. It's just really bizarre, but like when you do like psychedelics, like these frequencies are like, there is like a sound that you hear specifically on like DMT or acid that is just like very fine and crisp, and like these like little like shining moments like you would hear in like some techno tracks too, but like yeah, absolutely using those in my work for sure.
Also super curious about your background because I have no clue about it. It feels like there's so much to learn about you for many of us.
Yeah.
Which is super exciting. I'm so happy to have you here. But you grew up in California.
I grew up in a part of Oakland that is not necessarily like a wholesome place. Like I grew up in Fruitvale in Oakland, and that was my neighborhood. And my parents immigrated to the United States, like leaving the war in Iraq. And so this neighborhood was like one of the only places that they could afford to like rent a place. And it was just kind of a ghetto and had like one of the highest like homicide rates in the country at the time. And so like I spent a lot of my childhood like really being indoors a lot because like I couldn't really play on the streets and like,
you know,
I do have one brother. Yeah. So like we spent a lot of time together, like at home alone. Yeah, like I had really good memories also. Like we take like sort of like family trips, you know, over to San Francisco, and like it was really cute in that regard. But like living in California at the time, like had been really rough. Like also like just sort of like having that like sort of redlining where like you can't actually like go and move into another neighborhood. Like as a sort of immigrant family, they sort of deny you like the ability to leave actually the ghetto. And
what? How do they do that?
Well, you just you show up and like I guess my mother's in hijab and my father's name is Muhammad, and they go and they try to rent a house in a nicer neighborhood so that like at least like my brother and I could actually go to better schools, or even just like to like sort of like move forward in life. They would just say this place is not available, like, and this would happen on a repeat for them. And so the way they went
that
around
makes
it,
you feel so unworthy.
Yeah. That's- yeah. It was pretty challenging. I mean, honestly, like I think that this was like one of the biggest problems about like being in the United States is that feeling of like just like really constantly being othered and constantly like just not really having the same rights as people based on your ethnicity and who you are. And I think that like, you know, my parents like really prioritized my brother and I's education. And so like, you know, we lived there for a long time, and they would like sort of pay somebody that lived in a nicer neighborhood to use our address so that we go to the better schools in the state. And so it was a bit like that. Yeah.
Wow. Mm. All right. But how did your musical journey, because that's, were your parents musical?
My parents were very interested in music. The Middle Eastern like culture, like they really celebrate this like kind of like folky style of music where it's like, you know, artists like Kulthum and like Fairuz, where they would just like, you know, my parents just like really only listened to them, and they were very, really like, you know, having like this very like folky style. But I got my interest in music actually through being in the school's band. Like I picked up clarinet when I was 10, and I was playing.
How cute were you?
Yeah. I was very, very nerdy, very nerdy. So I started that way, and like through like middle school and high school, I learned like music theory and got into jazz band, like playing like saxophone.
You played saxophone?
I did. Yeah. For a brief moment in time.
It's incredible.
So that was my start. And, you know, like my love for like electronic music really came from actually like MySpace, which is really bizarre, but like it was like the first time where I like felt like I had access to like music from like all over the world. Like there was like these different profiles where you can like look based on like the country and like sort of like popularity of a band or like music style. And so like through that, when I was a teenager, like I found so much new music that I got really interested in. So that was like a really good moment. And yeah, like checking out CDs in the local library also, like that was amazing. And yeah, that's...
You found it then on your own.
Yeah. It
like
was more
electronic music. Did it, or did you have friends who also listened to electronic music, or how did that kind of...
Yeah, I did. I did have friends listening to electronic music at the time, but actually, like, it was really different. Like in my schools, like people were listening to like more like radio hits, and like a bit more like on that zone. It was like very much like some friends of mine were listening to like more new wave bands and like New Order and Depeche Mode, and that was like more like sort of like the entry into electronic music, I think, also for me, because we really loved listening to those bands. But yeah, it was only really until I moved to the UK that I like really had access to go to more like electronic music events. And that's when it really started, like the like sort of obsession. That was back in 2010. When I was in the States, like I like felt like quite alienated. Like I was living in like a very conservative, like Muslim household. Meanwhile, also going to school. And like when I was like a teenager, like, you know, the US had invaded Iraq again. And that was in 2003. And that made me like very, very isolated because, you know, I was going to school with people that had like siblings in the war and like being like, you know, like fighting in the war over there. And so, you know, it made me and like also my brother like targets for like a lot of racism and a lot of like hatred and a lot of Islamophobia. Like I'm not super religious these days, but like I grew up like Muslim and, you know, they would see me, like my mother like pick me up from school and she's wearing a hijab and, you know, I make comments and things like that. And so from like a young age, like I felt like a very, very like, you know, like people would say, like, you know, go back to Iraq, even though I was born in California, you know. So from a young age, I really didn't feel like so comfortable, like in my home country, which was very sad. But also at the time, like I was like throwing myself into like after school programs, like, you know, going to like do drawing and music lessons, and that really helped me like escape that feeling.
Did you find friends, more so friends there then?
Or
like a community, a sense of that there was something behind the surface level that people saw, or you know, the
I think it was really I did have mentors, like my art teachers at the time had been my mentors. So they were sort of like my they would like just listen to like my what's going on in my life. Like I felt like I could talk to them more than I could talk to like my peers or my teachers, who would often look the other way when it came to like things like racism in class and whatnot. And my parents, who bless them, like they would often just tell me like, you know, Danielle, don't do anything about it. You just have to like move forward. And, you know, there are like so many traps that you can fall into as like a POC. And like especially like during this time when you're seen as a terrorist, like you can just, you have very little ability to vocalize how you feel and
explain to you what you were experiencing.
Yeah,
that is so important to realize, like to be able to deal with the traumas.
Yeah
So did you understand it when you were so young?
I didn't understand it. And I also didn't really understand like why I left the States, like until like maybe a couple years after I had been in the UK and I reflected on like my emotions about like how I felt like being in that country. Because to be honest, it's not easy to just like leave home and to really start anew and like to look for something different. But I definitely didn't feel comfortable like living in the States. And like I really understood why, like afterwards, like that, like I had actually just like been seeking like a sort of refuge from that feeling of alienation. And I think that like that was something that I was looking for in the UK. But I also didn't really find it there. It was only until I moved to Berlin that like I started really like finding that.
How come you moved to Berlin?
So like I had finished my studies in the UK, and it was like a sort of feeling of not really wanting to stay in the UK. Like the situation there is like a lot of amazing culture, a lot of amazing things happening there. But it was just like so many, it's quite a conservative place in the end. Like it's not actually as liberal and free as Berlin. Like a lot of my friends that I would go out with, they now own a house and have a baby and, you know, they are operating. They were like, nightlife is something that I did when I was in my early 20s, and that's it. And so like when I came to Berlin, like for the first time, I immediately like met so many international people, like free thinking, very liberal, minded people. And like when I was thinking about where I would go, like after like my UK studies, I naturally thought about Berlin. And then I came here and I thought I'd give it a try. And now
so
it's
had
like,
you been traveling here before?
I did. Yeah, I came here in 2011 for the first time and I was alone for like 2 weeks. And it was winter and like I ended up having a really good time. And I said to myself, like leaving Berlin, I was like, I can't live there. It's crazy. It's like too dangerous territory, you know, like it's like too much fun. And I'm like never going to get anything done, you know? And then 3 years later, I came over here. And
was that the truth that you in the beginning didn't get so much done?
There was some truth to it for sure. Like I had a lot of ambitions. Like when I came here, I was like, yeah, like I'm gonna just like take a break and then continue my studies like in neuroscience and like, you know, just operate like as a student here or whatever, like, or just like thinking about like how to be creative as well as like being able to balance my interest in going out and experiencing the nightlife. And then after a few years of that, I really became very engrossed in like the dance music scene here, and I didn't care about much else. I was just like really like in love.
So the neuroscience studies,
mm-hmm.
What is that?
Well, I spent 4 years in the UK studying neuroscience, and that was very grueling. It was something that I had decided on doing because I always like felt like the study of the brain and everything that is the study of the brain was like the final frontier, and it was like the very of like science, I guess, and like we have very little idea about that zone in our bodies, and also the thought of consciousness. It was something that I was, you know, dwelling on for so long, and obviously there's no answers, but that was something that really drove me to study neuroscience when I was young.
So interesting.
And I like to say that in the last years in Berlin, I had been doing some field research.
Did you come to Berlin alone? Or did you have friends here?
I did come here alone. Yeah. And then, I spent a lot of time in the clubs and, made friends pretty quickly here, and friends that I have even today. And, I really,
did you meet them a lot out?
I did. Yeah. I spent a lot of time going to like very regularly, like certain parties that like would have regulars, and Berghain, for example, I met so many of my close friends there. And it was also like one of those, like one of the spaces that like I felt like I can like really like let like a lot of like, you know, sides of myself like out that I'd like been repressing for so long. Like I had through like experimentation of substances and whatnot, like an awakening of like just, you know, what I love doing, like my, like also like a sexual awakening and a, you know, like I would be on the dance floor and, you know, I was maybe like 30 kilos heavier at the time. And I had always struggled with my body image and my weight. And, you know, it was the first time that I was able to like take off my shirt on the dance floor and like not feel like self-conscious about it. Like I felt like, oh, I like feel accepted, you know, and like, you know, dancing in Pano like was just like, you know, with like all these like fabulous people. And like, I felt like, oh, I'm like really like feeling,
belonging.
Yeah. Belonging somehow. Yeah. And, that was immensely therapeutic for me, I think. Yeah.
Wow. Did you also DJ at this time?
At this time, no, but it was a time when I was starting my parties. And
you started the parties before you started DJ yourself.
Yes, exactly. Like on like a more like in front of audiences. I would play to people like at home, but it wasn't super like professional in that way. Like it was
it named Weirdos then too?
Yeah exactly.
So how come you started it?
That's a good question. So I had been like partying for a few years in Berlin, and I don't know, like through like all of these different events that I would attend and like really be like excited about, like I met so many people that were deep like music lovers, but like also like didn't really have like such a platform to like promote themselves, or like didn't really have like any like sort of ability to like play in spaces around the city because, you know, there's a certain accessibility for that. And when you're a beginner, like starting out, like there's not really so much unless you're doing it yourself. And so at the time, like I remember just like walking to my like ceramic class at the time. And like my friend, like who ran like these parties, like called Shameless Limitless in Berlin. And they were like parties and concerts for more DIY spaces. And I was going to those a lot. Like I really loved going to concerts and like the small, cute, like Southern Neukölln and like DIY community there. So I got a call from him and he was like, hey, Danielle, like I'm out of town. And my friend is coming from Paris. Like, do you want to do a concert? Like, do you want to like start a concert, like, and promote it yourself? And I was like, oh, that's a funny question. Like yes. And then so he like sort of introduced me to Billy from Internet Explorer, which is like this DIY space that doesn't really exist anymore on like Siegerstrasse. And you know, we arranged a date. And I asked like four friends like to be like support, and they were doing like experimental music and like some like live performance art and whatnot. And so like I was like, okay, we'll do like split door. I was like also broke as hell like at this time. And so like the thought of like sort of putting on an event was like really terrifying. I like was risking very like 100 brave. It was like 100 euros like that I was like risking. And I was like, oh, like was this a good idea? I don't know. And I was like really like terrified.
How many I'd never years done ago it before. Was it?
This was 7 years ago. Yeah. Or like six. Yeah. Yeah. And then the party, the event happened and it was full. It was like full with all the friends and all the people that like I was, you know, meeting in the clubs. And, you know, it felt like a really nice community moment. And that was very satisfying. And I kind of caught the bug. And yeah, like from then on, like I did done like several events like in a month and started different series and whatnot.
So did you discover your queerness before you started the parties?
I feel like I discovered that in my time in Berlin.
It is like very the focus on the parties is to lift queer people.
Yeah.
Female and non-binary.
Yeah, that was really through my journey, like in the years before when I really had my like a more awakening moments, like my sexual awakening. And that was really in like the clubs in Berlin, like for like the 3 years that I was here before doing the parties. And I could really like I identify like where like how I identify myself as I do today.
Like, I remember also you and I, we were speaking about it when we met the first time, that like sometimes it can be like, oh my God, you can get like social anxiety and you stay at home and you like lock yourself in a little bit. And,
yeah.
And then you are like, it's harder for you.
Absolutely. Like, I feel like, you know, for me, I actually came from like a very extreme like sort of zone where I was social, but like never able to really like talk. Like I was always like social, but then like kind of like hanging around and like not really engaging so much. Like I was like kind of like in a box. I wouldn't talk about myself so much, and like I wouldn't talk about things like, you know, things from the past. And like I feel like I was, you know, I was in some sort of depression for sure in my like early adult life. And so then when I moved to Berlin, which is like the most liberal city, I think, in Europe. Like, if you imagine, like, we don't necessarily, I don't get hassled to, like, oh, like, are you having kids soon? Are you going to get married? Are you doing this? Like, we have, like, mature ravers, you know, in our dance floors, and that's normal. Mm-hmm. But in other cities, it's not normal, not at all. And I think that for me, like, being in this environment, like, really, like, it was making me able to like come out of my shell and like articulate myself, and like actually like kind of like drew me out of my depression over the years, and like allowed me to like have space to like be like expressing myself. And like now I feel like my depression comes and goes. Of course, like middle of February in Berlin, like it's hard work, like for sure. Like I'm constantly like on my Google flights, and I'm like, okay, so where are we going? Like, where are we gonna take our like 2 week holiday, and I never end up doing it in the end. But it's always like very hard in that time period, and especially during the pandemic when we didn't have the clubs and like that community that we can lean on in those times, like that was extra hard.
I always feel it's rougher though when you look back on it. Then yeah. I'm like, oh my god, I can't do it again. And every time I'm in it, I'm like, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. I'm like bearing.
But it like feels endless somehow. Like you're like, wow, how many more months? Like I feel like summer was a million miles away. And like.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Looking at your in the iPhone memories, you're like, February was sunny this year. We were sitting out, we were having beer. It's going to be fine. And then it's February, and then it's March, and then it's April. And you're like, still no sun.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh my God. I literally go to like tanning beds so that like I get like 10 minutes of like low level UV light like every week.
Maybe that's a life hack.
It's a life hack. I started doing it last year, and also going to saunas like on the regular like has helped so much. Like, cause you actually get that like deep warm feeling that like you don't
Bali
really get. I do it at home's place. Like I have urban sports. So like I just like, I go and like lift weights and like do that.
Lift weights. Nice. We have now come to the part of the podcast where if you're a Patreon, you'll get to listen to the extra material where we speak about how to carve your way as a queer, non-binary or female artist in the scene, how one can build their own path and start to get those bookings. If you're interested, go to patreon.com/playfulmagazine. I also wanted to go back in time a little bit because we were speaking about your events, weirdos. You're having at least 6 events coming this year, or?
Yes, I think so. Like 4 in total at the moment, like scheduled at OHM. And I'm planning a rave in the summer in a bunker. It'll be cute.
Oh, fun. Keep us posted.
Yes, I will do. I find that I did mostly only like parties in clubs last year, and I do love doing that, but I actually really love doing the off location parties because they really can be quite special, and it's like the element of the unknowns that is really exciting also as a promoter and like as an artist. Myself and a few other people will be doing that
fun. But I was also thinking, like, having grown up with a feeling of being living outside or not being accepted, do you think that's also somehow pushing you to booking other outsiders?
Absolutely. I mean, I run a party series called Weirdos, you know, and it's very much like that. What, especially at the time when I started the parties in 2017, it was a lot of like cis male majority lineups, and the aesthetics had been like, I don't know, plaid and bow and black and white and like this sort of like really dark doomcore vibe. I started to really promote you know, people in my surroundings, Flinta artists, like POC Flinta artists, and a lot of queer artists around me. And those parties were not only parties, but they were also concerts, and concerts that turned into parties. Or even I started a series called Queerdos, which was at the time in Monarch, the small venue that I was working at the time doing booking. And it was a spoken word event with performance art, and it was in totally new format. Like, I was really trying to imagine like a new format for events and that people can go to them and like have like the experience of maybe going to like a small gallery or whatever, where somebody's like doing performance art, like whatever, like spoken word. And I did that with my friend Kataline at the time. And those events had been incredible. Like, it was so many people that would have like poetry and like spoken word that were like sort of reflecting on their like experiences of being queer and their like traumas and the struggle of being othered and alienated in society. And I felt like in those moments, along with moments in my parties and whatnot, where like I felt deeply moved by those, because it was really also like selfishly like a way that I was able to like really feel less alienated. And I felt like I could relate to a lot of peers around me. And that was amazing. I would cry quite a lot in these events. You know, I'm a Cancer, so I cry a lot.
Yeah, it's healing to cry. Do you feel that the booking systems have changed since 2017, generally speaking?
Generally speaking, yes. I think definitely you can see this more like platforming like Flint to artists, and like there's more inclusivity. I think inclusivity is not necessarily fully there, but it is actually much better than back then. And I think that like parties like mine, I've platformed artists in the city that have become like new stars. And it was one of those like hubs that, you know, like really like incubated like a zone that people can look to and say like, okay, where can we like who should we book for these other spaces? And I think that myself and a few other promoters at the time had been, especially in the city, like pushing this agenda of like Flinta, like queer artists, and really fighting for that zone in the clubs. And I think that in general in Berlin, like I remember it was much harder to, especially like when you haven't really done so many events, a lot of clubs just like won't really respond to your emails. They won't really give you the time of day. So I think that like there are actually quite a lot of clubs now in the city that are very open and like will take risks and like try out new series, new events. And there's way more possibilities now. And I think that that's really amazing. And I think it's moving in the right direction.
Nice to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the feeling different or being like watched or like judged, it's also like a part of that is also like dealing with a lot of beauty standards, which is something I know you have posted on your Instagram. How, like, what kind of struggles have you come across regarding that?
That's a good question. Like, I at the time when I had posted that, I you know, over the last couple of years, like I started promoting myself more as a professional artist, and really like having that pressure of like posting constantly images and also being constantly photographed on social media. And, you know, sometimes like, especially like in this time frame, and every now and then, like I definitely have days where I actually don't feel like being photographed. Like I don't want pictures of me. And I have days where like I'm not happy with my body, or like I'm not happy with like my eating disorder at the time, and I'm like feeling a bit disconnected. And so in those moments, especially like, and maybe even having like something that I need to take a photo for, or like just being on stage and being photographed and like just feeling quite bad about it, that definitely can weigh on one's feelings about one's appearance. And I think that that's how I felt. And also like with just like so much on social media, like this constant influx of information, like where like I feel like I don't really want to play the game of like using face filters and like just like sort of like editing my photos to make myself look like different from actually how I look. And I've had to really make my peace with that. And I also don't want to like sort of promote that as an artist. So I made that statement, and I also feel like because I said that, like I felt like I owned that feeling also. Like it felt really good to like just put it out there, and I do actually feel a lot better now. Like I feel way more comfortable and confident in that regard.
Do you also feel I somehow have felt that I know that there is definitely no hiding from looks matter and these things, even in Berlin or the techno scene.
Yeah.
Yet I feel what you said about being able to just undress completely and feeling accepted for who you are in Panorama Bar.
Yeah.
You know, there's something that is still like making us being more, or like making me be more unaware about how I look here. Yeah. Because I don't feel either people care so much if you look nice or not nice, you know?
Actually, it's true. In Berlin, it's amazing. Like, I remember being in the UK and, like, people would, like, put on, like, full makeup for, like, the supermarket, you know? And I'm like, because it is, like, very, like, cis, like male, female. Like, they go out in, like, different groups and, like, you know, it's very, like, heteronormative there. And, like, I think that, like, in Berlin, we don't have any, like, massive society pressures to, like, look a certain way or, like, be a certain way on the streets. And also like low-key like the streets of Neukölln, like I mean it is like it is like literally liberating to just be like the not so freaky person on the street no matter how you look. Yeah. Which is amazing. You're like, actually I'm fine, like somebody's out crazying me here, like it's amazing.
And also like I feel that at some parties when you enter, the first thing people say is like, oh, what are you wearing, or like, that's nice, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, you can say it to your close friends or whatever sometimes here, but I've never been to a party where people are like, what are you wearing? Oh, yeah. Like, happened like once.
Yeah, yeah.
I was having some face mask one time in Bergen, and I think like 5 people approached me about the mask, but that's the only thing. And it was
absolutely
because it was not because it was, they were like, where is it from? Who created it? It was not like this, you know?
Right.
It was no judgy in it. It was not like, oh, you're looking extra nice today. It's not, it's the feeling of that you also, sometimes people say these things in a way that you feel a little bit ashamed that you do look nice.
Uh-huh. Or, I see what you mean. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It can mm-hmm. be a little bit like, oh, you look very nice today. What's the occasion? This
right.
kind of, never,
right.
like, for me, that was a long time ago. I was approached in this way.
Yeah.
And if I'm not caring really what I put on, I'm still welcome in the club, you know?
Yeah.
I can be like, put on my bathing suit and just go.
And like, it's
from
it's
the
a vibe.
Shower. Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what I really love about Berlin, is that also like, yeah, like the dance floor is like the uniform in most of the clubs is like, put on your trainers and like your jogging pants and like go, or like nothing at all, you know, like, or just like run around the club with your underwear, and it's a vibe. Mm-hmm. And then if you really want to step it up, like then you can dress for the occasion, and you can be as fabulous as you want, or you can be as casual as you want. You can treat it like a workout, or you can treat it like a fun cocktail party, like on the corner of a bar.
No one's gonna be like, why did you dress up?
Exactly.
Like
everyone's like, you're in this mood, okay, I see you. Totally. And I think that like in terms of like something that is like not necessarily looked at as like amazing is like, okay, like people in their like stiletto heels that look extremely uncomfortable, like not necessarily the people that will stay at the party for like longer than like a few hours. So you really don't see a lot of that. And so there's never any of this like pressure to like really like, I don't know, dress in a certain way. Like it's so free to do like whatever yeah. you want. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And I also don't believe in the all black mentality of, you know, you have to dress in all black to like go into the clubs. It's not like that. It's everyone just needs to be original in their decisions. And, you know, then everything
be
is
you.
Fine. Yeah. Be you. Exactly. Yeah.
What do you feel like, speaking of decide, like we also spoke about booking and the scene in general, not being so aware about looks and all these things. But what do you think is something that the scene is struggling with at this time?
The scene, I think, especially like for like future times, like I think it's like actually like the growing like rise of the alt-right. Like, I think that that's like one of the biggest threats like to nightlife, like liberal dance music scene and dance music culture and like queer culture, like all over Europe and all over like the Western world. Like, we have like a rise of like extreme right wingers. I mean, we just saw Kanye being allowed to like spew his like neo-Nazi agenda like live on air, and like this is a public figure, you know, and this was allowed to stream, and it was, and the rise of anti-Semitism is terrifying, and like all over like in Poland and Hungary, like anti-queer sentiments have been very harshly expressed, and I think politically, this is really the biggest threat to our scene. Mm. And I'm.
It's getting closer. Like you can sense that if it's acceptable to give a platform to whomever is famous, no matter what opinions they have, it's that scary.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's
something with social media too. It's like the national TV, I think they're also affected about what people want to see. And they're like, well, they have a platform. But, you know, if they allow these people to go on their brand or, you know, the national TV, then it's like there's no difference. Then it's just that you're allowed to have whatever opinion you want, as long as you're famous and people want to see it.
Right. Yeah. Or it's like whatever like keeps people watching on these platforms. It was, deeply troubling. And I think that with that on the rise, like with these sort of like mindsets and sentiments, like the rise of also more Christianity and like this like sort of like more conservative way of being is a huge threat for sure. Yeah. And I even noticed like during the COVID times, like here in Berlin, when we were actually allowed to have parties like Pornceptual got shamed in the media for having a legal party. And it was like streamed like on German newspapers that like they were doing something devious and something that was not legal, even though they were operating within legal times. I'm not sure if you remember this.
Was this like 2 years ago?
Exactly, in the summer.
I
remember
it. Yeah, because I went to their party there at the beach, whatever it was. And there was something going on that it was like, maybe we're not allowed to do this. And, you know, you didn't know if it was going to happen or not, because there were so many people fighting against the party to take place. So it was like, let's see if it's still on. Like, you know,
I think so for crazy. It was the sad thing about this situation was that like how like the German media like really portrayed the event happening, and it really like put an emphasis saying like, you know, nightlife like is responsible for like the spread of coronavirus, and also like using images of like people in like bondage and whatever like to then just like shame nightlife people and like our culture. And I think that for me was really unsettling, because for a long time, I really thought like that, existing in the country of Germany and being in Berlin, like also like allowed like so much freedoms and like so much acceptance. And actually that is a bubble. And that kind of shattered that reality somehow for me. And that actually like it's still like pretty subversive that what we're doing, you know?
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
It's either this or it's that. This is this or that.
Okay, this or that questions.
Okay, cute. Yeah.
Let's see. Getting to know the superficial sides.
Okay, yeah, totally.
Okay, Housewives of Beverly Hills or Star Wars?
Star Wars.
How come I knew that? Like, I had a feeling about Are you into Star Wars?
I kind of am into Star Wars, but like, yeah, from a young age. Like, I'm not really into reality TV, you know. Yeah.
But you like sci-fi and
I really, it's my favorite genre.
Do you like Harry Potter also?
I wish like J.K. Rowling wasn't like such a huge transphobe, because otherwise I would.
Yeah. So you did like them until how many years ago was she discovered?
I don't know, maybe like 8-10 years ago, something like that. And she's just so actively transphobic. It's so horrifying.
Also,
yeah.
She's transphobic, and she's also like anti-vax. And,
yeah. She's operating in that zone.
They often go together. So
yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay, this one's so easy. Bros or cats?
Cats.
You feel like a cat person, also, are you?
I guess. I mean, I like all animals. Like, but cats are cute. I mean, I was in Turkey and I was just like, oh my god, like just like freaking out the whole time.
Ramen or fries?
Fries.
Night walks by yourself or morning meditation?
Night walks. Yeah.
Are you doing that to like cleanse your head? I was going to say, you know, cleanse your mind.
I guess so. I mean, morning meditations, like I actually find like walking in the morning is also like really like, I usually do a walk in the morning and a walk in the evening, because I really need to like interface with people like first thing. Like mm-hmm. I go and get my coffee and then I can like do whatever like in the day, as long as I've like met that one person, then I like go home and
You've done something.
And I can like do all my work and like feel like I've had that social interaction.
Yeah. Nice. Rooftop bar or smoky kneipe?
Smoky kneipe.
Tarot cards or crystals?
Ooh, that's a hard one. Crystals?
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I tried to get myself some tarot cards, and somebody told me that, you know, you cannot buy yourself tarot cards. So somebody has to give them to you. So I thought to myself, well, why don't I just like order them off the internet, and then the post guy is going to give me the tarot cards.
Actually, after this, maybe you will get some somehow.
I really hope so, because I've been trying and I'm like, nobody's given. And so like then they never, like both times like that I ordered them off the internet, like they've never shown up. So it was like a sign. I was like, this scheme like isn't like working, you know?
That's
like
interesting.
So they haven't come. So I'm, you know, left to my crystals in the
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting. One best friend or 10 semi good friends?
Ooh, that's also hard. One best friend. Yeah.
Country or jazz?
Jazz.
Yeah, kind of figured.
Yeah.
Jazz is so nice. Are there any good jazz bars in Berlin?
Ooh, that's a good question. I haven't seen many. I know there's some jazz nights like happening like at Loophole and like a few other places like in Berlin, but I haven't really been to any. Yeah.
I know Estela Buersma is also a very big fan of jazz music.
Okay.
Okay, cigarettes or weed?
Cigarettes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Front row or behind the booth?
Behind the booth.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, because it feels, what's the feeling? What differs it like?
Well, what do you mean actually?
Like, because if you're front row, you're amongst all the ravers.
Uh-huh.
And behind the booth, maybe you feel a little bit more safe, or you can breathe easier.
Ah,
or like,
okay, yeah.
Know.
Oh, you mean in terms of just going out?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like to play or not to play.
No.
Yeah. Well, no, actually then front row, because
yeah,
then, you know, you have the best perspective on the DJ and you get to rave with all the fabulous dancers that are also...
I was thinking that you were front row.
Yeah, totally. No, behind the booth, I don't really like this like two-class society that can exist in nightlife. It can be like very dividing, and I think better to leave the DJ alone in the booth. And also like I'm not really a huge fan of backstages either, so like definitely front row. I'm dancing with the ravers. Yeah.
What's up with backstages?
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, I think it's really nice to just have like a very one society sort of nightlife situation where like, you know, people are not like going into like, you know, a big group of people like sitting in the backstage and having this like sort of backstage culture of just like, you know, having that and not really being on the party. I like everyone on the party, you know. Yeah, I
mean, boom, with that we put a dot.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you so much. This was lovely.
Yes, it was excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
This was it for Playful Podcast this week, but please follow, subscribe and listen to our next episode. And if you want to have a say about future artists or even ask your own question to one of our guests, follow us on Instagram and make sure to add your question when we lift our coming guests. Thank you so much for joining and see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.